Morning. I'd like to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 10, text 37, for which purpose it would be helpful to have a copy in front of me, as I didn't yet memorize the whole of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I don't have a periscopic vision that I can read it when it's somewhere else. Where's the book? Rishinam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjayaha Muninam Apyaham Vyasa Kavinam Ushana Kavihi Vishinam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjayaha Muninam Apyaham Vyasa Kavinam Ushana Kavihi Vishinam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjayaha Muninam Apyaham Vyasa Kavinam Ushana Kavihi Vishinam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjayaha Muninam Apyaham Vyasa Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. Of the descendants of Vrishna, I am Vasudeva, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa, and among great thinkers, I am Ushana. Purport: Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Baladeva is Krishna's immediate expansion. Both Lord Krishna and Baladeva appeared as sons of Vasudeva, so both of them may be called Vasudeva. From another point of view, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, all the forms of Krishna that appear elsewhere are his expansions. Vasudeva is Krishna's immediate expansion, so Vasudeva is not different from Krishna. It is to be understood that the Vasudeva referred to in this verse of Bhagavad Gita is Baladeva, or Balaram, because he is the original source of all incarnations, and thus he is the sole source of Vasudeva. The immediate expansions of the Lord are called Svangsha, personal expansions, and there are also expansions called Vibhinangsha, separated expansions. Amongst the sons of Pandu, Arjuna is famous as Dhananjaya. He is the best of men and therefore represents Krishna. Among the Munis, or learned men conversant in Vedic knowledge, Vyasa is the greatest because he explained Vedic knowledge in many different ways for the understanding of the common mass of people in this age of Kali. And Vyasa is also known as an incarnation of Krishna. Therefore, Vyasa also represents Krishna. Kavis are those who are capable of thinking thoroughly on any subject matter. Among the Kavis, Ushana, Shukracharya, was the spiritual master of the demons. He was an extremely intelligent and far-seeing politician. Thus, Shukracharya is another representative of the opulence of Krishna. Rishinam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dhananjaya Muninam Apyaham Vyasa Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudeva, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa, and among great thinkers, I am Ushana. As in most of these verses in this section of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states four phenomena that represent himself. as being the best of a particular category. I'm particularly going to speak about one of them in this verse today, Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. Ushana is a less well-known name for Shukracharya, who is the guru of the demons. On Sunday, I spoke on this Dhinu Namasmi Kamadhuk. I am the Surabhi among the cows. And in that verse, in the first line of that verse, Krishna says, Ayudhanam Aham Bajram. Among weapons, I am the thunderbolt. So the question came at the end of the class, why is Krishna represented, why does he say he's represented as the thunderbolt, which is associated with Indra, rather than the Sudarshan, which is the most famous of his own weapons? So if that's surprising, then you may find it even more surprising that, because after all Indra is a demigod, that Krishna states Shukracharya, the guru of the demons, to represent himself. Why not Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods? Well, he's already used up, you could say. His name's already been given in this list. That is Purodasam cha mukhyang mang vidhi pata Brihaspatim. Among the priests, Krishna's already said, just a few, in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, among the priests I am Brihaspati. Then Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. He's Shukracharya among the Kavis. So Kavi means a very thoughtful person. Well, what about Brahma? Because in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam we have this Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye Muhi. Yeah. I imparted this knowledge of Brahma, Vedic knowledge, Tene Brahma, Hridaye, Adi Kavi. Adi Kavi, the original Kavi. Kavi is generally used nowadays in the sense of poet, which is a Sanskrit usage also, but it means, in Sanskrit, it means not only a poet, but also a very learned and thoughtful person. Srila Prabhupada here gives the translation of Kavi as a person who is capable of thinking thoroughly on any subject matter. So what about Brahma? He's Adi Kavi, the first of them. Well, he's already been stated also in another context here. Dataham Vishvato Mukham. Among the creators, Krishna says, I am the one whose faces turn everywhere. In other words, Brahma. He can see everywhere with his foreheads, minimum. In our universe, Brahma has, yes, have enough heads to see everything that's going on everywhere. So four is the minimum, and in our universe, he has four. So why Shukracharya, seeing that he's the guru of the demons, and the demons, their business is to disturb the order in the universe. Indrari vyakalam lokam. This the Krishna comes when the enemies of Indra, namely the demons, disturb, make a disturbance. They disturb all the planets and all the people. And Shukracharya is giving them direction how to do so. And giving them strength from yagyas and so on, as we see in the case of Bali Maharaj. He directed Bali Maharaj in how to kick out Indra and all the demigods from the heavenly planets. It's a great disturbance. It's something comparable to if something like Narendra Modi saying that, you can compare me to the president of Pakistan, something like that, because Pakistan, as soon as you say, of Pakistan. Well, we're not supposed to think like that. As being devotees of Krishna, we're supposed to see everyone equally and Narendra Modi himself also was recently quoting Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. But seeing all people, as everyone in the world as our family member, but I suppose there can be family quarrels also, which really it is between India and Pakistan, because it's the same people, but divided by an artificial border. But it's something that we could get the idea of something like that. It's a rough example. That those who are it's not a bad example, actually, because although Pakistan is not officially an enemy of India, there's always some feeling that they're up to something. And from the other side, they think the same way about India also. There's some continuing antipathy between the two and distrust between them. So it's like that with the demigods and the demons. Sometimes they may cooperate for some purpose, as they did in the churning of the milk ocean, but basically they don't like each other and they're against each other. Also, Shukracharya is the father of Shanda and Amarka, who were the demoniac teachers of Prahlad, appointed by Hiranyakashipu to instruct Prahlad how to be a good demon, if there's any such thing as a good demon. It's of course, the demons may think that we're very good, as when Prahlad called his father Asuryavarya, the best of the Asuras, we would think, well, that's something very strange, the best of the demons. We think, yeah, we're very good. Yeah, that's right. I'm the biggest and the best of the demons. In English, they would say, and you probably say in other languages also, just like during the Second World War when the English were against the Germans, the British were fighting against the Germans, which is also something like a fratricidal war, because actually the English and the Germans tend to like each other, but somehow they, from time to time, they fight each other also. So they are the only, what's the word for a German in the Second World War? The only good Jerry is a dead one. The only good German is a dead one. And probably on the German side, they said the same thing about the British also during the Second World War. So there's this feeling, good demon. He's kind of be a good demon. So what's Shukracharya? How is he being quoted here? He's a very impious person. He's a very impious person. He has power from the Vedic knowledge, but he's very impious. But he's also very pious. Is that possible, to be pious and impious at the same time? He's very pious inasmuch as he's a Brahmin, follows the Brahminical principles, even for the wrong purposes. He's very learned. That's the point that Krishna's making here. He's very learned. So he has some piety also. That Srila Prabhupada explains when he describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, he didn't want to meet the Mayavadi sannyasis because they're Mayavadis. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself externally appeared as a Mayavadi, and he himself said when he was speaking with Ramananda Rai, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi. And some people quote that to say, actually he's a Mayavadi, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. He didn't want to meet them. Eventually he did meet them, and they became influenced by his speaking, his humility, and they also became Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard that even though they were on one hand offensive, but on the other hand, they were very pious. They were living in a holy place, Varanasi. It's a city of Lord, known as the city of Lord Shiva, but it's also on the Ganga, where the Ganga turns, where the river, where there's a bend in the river, is
particularly auspicious and pious, and they studying the Vedas and performing austerities. So if you take away their offensive attitude, all these things are good. Of course, their offensive attitude overshadows the good things that they do, but there is some piety there also. Anyway, the point here is that Krishna's he's pointing out things that are outstanding in the material world. Mriganam cha mrigendroham, among the animals I am the lion. So the lion is neither pious or impious. It's a ferocious, well, to get that body, there's another good example, is piety and impiety. It's the king, he's a king. You want to be a king? Well, maybe you can be the king of the jungle. The king of the animals. So the lion has some nobility, is associated with aristocracy. The lion is very powerful. The lion is a beautiful creature as compared, for instance, to a rhinoceros or a crocodile, which are not beautiful creatures. So there's something there about the lion which is pious, but most to get an animal birth is generally impious and a very ferocious creature. Although you can make friends with them also. Some humans have lions as pets. Instead of having a pet dog, you can have a pet lion. It'll probably guard your house better than a dog, but costs more to feed also. Anyway, I'm not recommending it here. Probably chase the dogs away. At least the lions don't bark at night. But they're raw. Well, that's much more strong. So, Krishna, mriganam cha mrigendroham. Krishna says, among the animals, I am the king of the animals. Namely, that's understood to be the lion, not the jackal or the chimpanzee. The chimpanzee has no regal qualities whatsoever, just the opposite. Chimpanzee couldn't, even if you dressed up a chimpanzee to look like a king, it would still look like a chimpanzee and act like a chimpanzee, and this most frivolous creature. Shukracharya, he is pious in some sense, and he actually understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in some ways. Just like sometimes you can meet a Mayavadi pundit, and he can explain to you probably better than a lot of our devotees about the Vaishnava philosophy. He can tell you. He doesn't believe in it, but he can explain it very well. He knows it very well. There are such scholars even now in India. Here's a extract from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukracharya, who told Bali, don't surrender to Vishnu. Don't give your sarvasvang Vishnave dadva murho vartishyate katam. You fool, if you give everything to Vishnu, how will you maintain yourself? You think, how will you maintain me too? Because I'm living on your largesse. That was also the conflict between Sharmishta and Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya. And when Devayani accidentally took Sharmishta's clothing, and Sharmishta, who was the daughter of the king, said that, you're like dogs. We maintain you, you Brahmins, you think you're so great. And they were arguing and fighting with each other like this. Over nothing, actually. So Shukra, who told Bali not to surrender to Vishnu, and Vishnu had just blinded him in one eye, that doesn't come in the Bhagavatam, that comes elsewhere. That's how, when giving something in charity to wrap it all up, to confirm it in Vedic culture, then water has to be poured out from the water pot. Like in the wedding, the boy and girl, their hand is joined together and some water is poured on and all is confirmed. So in the spout of the water pot, Shukra, he entered as some insect, and Vishnu, Vamana, took a sharp straw and pierced that, which pierced Shukracharya's eyes. So he's a one-eyed Kavi. Or he has two eyes, but one of them doesn't work. So he was guru of the demons and not the best kind of person, you might say. But anyway, after all this, when Bali Maharaj had become tied up and the victory of the demigods was clear, the leader of the demons was tied up, and the demons started to attack the demigods and Vishnu, but Bali told them, don't, you won't be able to be successful. And some of the demons got killed also. So at this point, Shukracharya said, my Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Yajna Purush, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in his performance of sacrifice? There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and, moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia, but when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Lord Vishnu, I must nonetheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious and is the first duty of everyone. This is the same Shukracharya who's just been telling Bali Maharaj not to follow Vamana's order. But he knows the philosophy, but he's the guru of the demons, so he instructs them accordingly. Shukdev Goswami continued, in this way the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifice performed by Bali Maharaj. So Shukracharya knew the philosophy properly, but he wasn't practicing it. But he is a great personality mentioned in Shastra repeatedly. And Krishna equates himself with him, so he's a great personality, no doubt. So what would you do if you saw Shukracharya? What would you do? Well, we should offer obeisance. We wouldn't take instruction from him. He might offer obeisance from a distance. I don't want to go too close. But we can respect him. He's a great personality, no doubt. In the modern age, there are still some smarter brahmanas. He's like a, you could say he's like a smarter brahmana, something like that, who follow the Vedic regulative principles as much as anyone can in the present time. And in many ways, they're better than ordinary materialists. Quite a few are here in Tamil Nadu, being graduates of the school in Kanchi, run by the Kanchi Kamapi. What is it? Kamakshi Kamapirta. What is it? Kamakshi? Kamapirta Matam. Kamakoti Matam. Yeah. The hardcore, I mean, absolutely Mayavadi, Advaitavadi school, but they teach them to chant the Vedic mantras and perform yajnas. And although Vaishnavas, well, especially, well, mostly here in Tamil Nadu, the Vaishnavas are followers of Ramanujacharya, and they're completely against worship of Shiva. But the smartas, they worship Shiva principally, but they also worship Vishnu. They're not against worship of Vishnu. The Madhvas, they also worship Vishnu principally, and they also worship Shiva and different demigods also. Although they understand that Vishnu is Sarvottama, the topmost. So they're not, the smartas, they're not indisposed to Vishnu worship, but they have their own understanding of it, which is wrong. because they follow the philosophy of Shankaracharya, which, of course, Shankara ultimately is a Vaishnava, but his teachings, he's generally understood to be the guru of the demons, the Mayavadis. But in the present day, we find that many people from that smarter background, not many, because there aren't that many who are strictly following, but they're also, many of them, they appreciate Krishna consciousness, and many of them, again, we're talking about here, many among a few, they actually take to Krishna consciousness fully. Because they have some piety, and there's no real support for their culture. Karma Koti Pitam, they're doing what they can, but it's in the modern age, the smarter Brahmanism, it doesn't have much life. Of course, never had any real spiritual life, but it's not prominent in society as it used to be. There are still some smarter priests who perform yajnas for people, and they worship in temples and this and that, but the whole smarter way of life, it's a dying culture, or largely dead, actually, if we consider what they're supposed to follow. Some of them still follow some things, but mostly all these smarta brahmanas, they're working in some job and this and that. And when they see devotees who are propagating the Vedic principles, and there's actually in Hari Kirtan, there's actually some bliss, which in the chanting of the Vedic mantras without properly understanding them or without any true spiritual connection. So it's very dry, actually, what the smarter culture is in. But the devotees, they have real spiritual life. And there may be many reasons that they're attracted, that devotees are open to everyone. So in modern society, smartas are like pariahs. They have less brahmanas. They have less rights. All the reservations and everything. There's a government orchestrated legislation. It's government imposed legislation to make brahmanas second, third, fourth, or fifth class citizens. So, devotees are not against Brahmins, and they're not against non-Brahmins, and we don't care about these things. We care who is worshipping Krishna. So we find that some of them are attracted. So some of them also may be, some of them may be demoniac also, and be against Krishna consciousness, but we don't find too many of them. In fact, recently I visited Pakshi Tirtha, which is a famous Shiva temple visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you all know, just south of Chennai. And Sri Giridhari Prabhu told me that they go there quite often for book distribution, and the priests there in the lower temple and the temple below the hill and on the top of the hill, they're all very open and favorable, exceptionally so. And even the devotees, he took a big group of devotees there, and they're all doing uproarious kirtan right inside the temple in front of the deity. No objection whatsoever. They were quite happy. They liked it. So we want to preach Krishna consciousness among all classes of people, and I'm sure that our previous acharyas will be very happy to see that the descendants of those who were traditionally philosophical opponents of Krishna consciousness, and not philosophical, and in many ways opponents, be very happy to see that their descendants are taking to Krishna consciousness. They'll be very happy to see that everyone's taking to Krishna consciousness. So that they appreciate Krishna consciousness, that is a great quality, and with more association they can also become fully committed devotees. So what would you do if you met Shukracharya? Well, what would you do if you see a smarter Brahmin? We can, if they're practicing, we respect them for that. Even though their philosophy we don't accept, that Shiva is supreme. But the fact that they are following some pure principles, even now, we should respect that. What would you do if you met Krishna? Well, bow down, for sure. Maybe from a distance also, as feeling ourselves to be impure and not capable, not fit to go close to Krishna. But we are always seeing Krishna. In this chapter, Krishna gives directions on how to see him within this material world. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, that's actually in a different chapter. But it's the same theme. Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. So we can't see without light, so we see by the sunlight or the moonlight, and maybe by some flashlight also, or some deepam. But the main sources of light are the sun and the moon. So we see Krishna. Remember Krishna? We can always see Krishna. He invites us in Bhagavad Gita to meet us, that we can meet him personally. So we have to prepare for that. We shouldn't be satisfied just seeing Krishna as the light of the sun and the moon, but Krishna is inviting us to personally meet him and to become very dear to him, more than Shukracharya. Shukracharya is a respected person, but he's not known for bhakti. But Krishna will extend his full mercy to anyone, even if they're not a great kavi or great learned person like Shukracharya. If they have bhakti, then Krishna, he reciprocates. So, any question about this, please? Yeah, okay, I saw Murari's hand go up first. Generally, as devotees, are you a devotee? Yes, you're a devotee, but you shouldn't present yourself as a devotee. Prasad in demigod temples. Frequently asked question. We can take it, but we can accept it, but we may not. We take it outside and give it to the birds or something like that. That's what I usually do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over South India, and he went to many demigod temples, as is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We don't find that any incident of him rejecting prasadam. Of course, he may have done, but we don't know about that. So, we may accept it as a formality like that. Charanamrita, we can accept that it's coming from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, but the food which is offered without it being offered to Krishna, that we should not accept. And offered in the wrong mood also. Wrong understanding. Yeah. Shiva temple. There are two Shiva temples close to the Krishna temple in Udupi. One is Chandramoleshwar, the other is Ananteshwar. And the Madhvas, the Madhva Brahmins do the puja, all the worship there. At Subramanyam also, that's a famous holy place. There's a Shiva temple, and in that southern part of Karnataka. So that's also the Madhva Brahmins worship there. They will do it because they see the demigods as great devotees. But they're very clear that Vishnu is supreme. I suppose we could take prasad in a Shiva temple, which is worshipped by Madhvas, because they'll do Vishnu puja first before they do Shiva puja. And they'll do the Shiva puja with the understanding of Shiva being a great devotee. So that might be an exception then. Yeah, then. Sringeri Shankaracharya. Well, what about him? Yeah. He's learned. Yeah, you have to be learned to be a Shankaracharya. You can't just be some nincompoop. You have to be well versed in. You have to know the Vedas. He's worshipping Durga Devi. Well, Kanchi also, Kamakshi is also Durga. Yeah. So what do you mean? What about him? You have a doubt whether he's coming in the Shankara Sampradaya. Well, on this side in Tamil Nadu, they say that the southern Peetam of the Shankara Sampradaya is at Kanchi. But generally, outside of Tamil Nadu, everyone accepts that it's at Sringeri. They're also brahmacharis, these Shankaracharyas, lifelong. So that's also quite an achievement in the modern day. Yeah, he also had a question. How do we understand, as per Asuri Purnasam system, so that Asuracharya was part of the Asuri Brahman? Yeah, he was an Asuric Brahmana, Shukra, yeah. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavatya kinshaya. Well, it's, yeah, no, non-devotees have no good qualities. But it's another perspective. Actually, that says, yes, harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna. They don't have mahan guna. They may have some qualities, but they don't. Their qualities are not great qualities. Non-devotees, they don't have great qualities. They may have some qualities. Prabhupada quoted Napoleon, just a complete lecher, and he said he hardly slept. He quoted it as a good quality. He would sleep on his horse when he was marching. So he gave that example. So we don't accept Napoleon's lifestyle or his outlook, but that good quality can be seen. Prabhupada didn't go on talking for hours and days about Napoleon, but he pointed out that good quality. He accepted, Srila Prabhupada was very much against Mahatma Gandhi's misinterpretation of Gita, but he pointed out some good things of Mahatma Gandhi, that he wanted to stop the urbanization and have simple village life. Oh, that reminds me, this... do I have it here? There's some other printouts. You can go and get that. There's a question about that. Who asked that? Rasananda in Delhi. He said that we have the... on the Bhagavad Gita, we have a quote from Mahatma Gandhi saying how it's not there now. There used to be, but it was printed on the back of the Gita during Srila Prabhupada's presence. Something like, when doubts haunt me and everything seems dark, I read the Bhagavad Gita and again everything seems bright and this and that. So the question is something like this. It's just being brought now, that why should we quote Gandhi if we don't approve of his philosophy? Let me see if I can find the question exactly. That's more or less the question. No, I think it's not here. No. Oh yeah, here it is. Mahatma Gandhi's statement on the back of, as printed on the back of Bhagavad Gita as it is, is it something approved by Srila Prabhupada just to influence the masses or later on developments? I guess that means, was it put after Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. On the one hand, we criticize him for propagating nonsense ideas which are not in line with pure devotional standards of bhakti yoga, and on the other hand, we're using his statements. Well, I don't have it printed out here, so I'll have to paraphrase it, but there is a letter from Srila Prabhupada when he's talking about Alan Watts and maybe others. Alan Watts was famous in America among hippies and others in the 1960s as a writer about and a proponent of Zen Buddhism in particular. So the devotees, someone had asked Prabhupada that shall we get a review from Alan Watts of the Bhagavad Gita? Because if we put that on that Alan Watts says, this edition of Bhagavad Gita is very good, that should promote the sales. And Prabhupada wrote back that, yeah, if you think you'll promote the sales, that's okay, or whatever. We don't care whatever their nonsense philosophy is, but if it'll promote the sales, okay. And actually, Alan Watts was asked to write a review, and he wrote something very offensive. So that wasn't printed. And Prabhupada, I quoted that in the Speaking Strongly book, that Prabhupada said, well, if these demons, they're angry with us, that's good. So, because Alan Watts didn't like the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, on the early editions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Macmillan edition, the 1972 edition, I believe it was, there are quotes from Ralph Waldo Emerson, I believe, and Henry Thoreau, I believe that would be pronounced in French. It's originally a French name. So these are respected people among the American intelligentsia, although in England people have hardly heard of them. And Gandhi is widely known, so their names were quoted. And then how far do we go with that? Do we... should we put on the back of the Arabic Bhagavad Gita, Bin Laden approved this Bhagavad Gita? Yasser Arafat. How far do you go? That we have to consider. George Harrison's Prabhupada asked him to write an introductory note for Bhagavad Gita as it is. So although George Harrison retained throughout much of his life some habits which were not in the pure devotional line, so I'm told, such as drinking alcohol, Srila Prabhupada appreciated that. Srila Prabhupada appreciated George Harrison's appreciation of Krishna consciousness, and undoubtedly George Harrison's introduction to the Krishna book helped to sell hundreds of thousands of that books in the Western countries, and quite a few thousand I did myself, so I personally know that you'd show people, you know George Harrison of the Beatles, don't you? Yes. Well, he sponsored this book, and we showed George Harrison, and it's already half sold, just showing the name George Harrison. So, we don't... But actually, he wrote very nicely. Very nicely, with a little help from Shyamasundara Prabhu. Yeah, how far do you go? Do we put the names of degraded people? Well, everyone in this world is degraded, I guess. So yes, Srila Prabhupada approved. I'm not sure exactly if he approved of having Gandhi, but if he approved of having Alan Watts review, then I presumably he wouldn't disapprove of Gandhi's, because Gandhi was definitely much better in many ways than Alan Watts. He had some saintly qualities. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranga ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.